This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I was reading some of the headlines that people were saying about Boomer's prediction of Pete Alonso signing with the Mets on Friday. We talked about the L that Evan Roberts put on the cardboard cutout of Boomer. The headline in the Post that said, Boomer, we're still waiting. Alonso prediction, an epic dud. And I said, that's not fair. That is not fair. There is a grace period. That grace period is 1 week. If it happens at some point this week, then to me, Boomer was right. And here we are, last night, right before 10 p.m., Pete Alonso and the New York Mets agree on a deal. And I think when you look at this, both sides kind of got what they want. So you had two sides that caved in this situation. Boom, Stradamus, we bow to thee. Yeah, good morning. Yeah. How are you?
Well, good morning. I wish it would have happened last Friday. I don't know what happened, why it didn't happen last Friday. I wish I'll get into the weeds with that with somebody that I spoke to. But I'm not sure, but I'm happy. As a Met fan, I'm happy. That's all I care about. I'm happy. I wanted to see him in the lineup this year with Juan Soto, Francisco Lindor. I wanted to run it back, and we added a couple pieces to this team. I don't know whether this team's good enough to get over the Dodger hump, and they'll deal with the Braves and the Phillies. There'll be massive games. Games will be sold out now. Met fans should be really, really happy this morning. And you're right. The contract is such that, I guess it's a fair reflection as to who Pete is for us as Met fans and who he was last year as a player. So it's a meeting in the middle is what it is. And I think there were some tweaks that had to be done maybe earlier this week. I'm not sure. But I never lost the feeling that he was not going to be a Met. Like, in other words, last Friday when I felt, when the Thursday night when I felt that, and when I was told what I was told, I said he's going to be a Met no matter what. How it was going to get done, that I didn't know. And I will just say that as a Met fan and as somebody who is really looking forward to this baseball season now, with this lineup, I am stoked. I don't care about predictions. I don't care about what anybody thinks I said or didn't say. I don't care about that. All I care about as a Met fan is that he's in the lineup. I wanted to see this, and I'm so glad for him that he decided to do it this way and to be a part of the Mets. So I'm one of the 80% of Met fans who is stoked this morning. I am happy.
I don't give a crap what anybody says about anything. My team has got a full complementary of players, and I am really happy about that.
So my language that I was using the other day about the caving that didn't nix this
deal.
That didn't nix the deal, because you said it was going to nix the deal when I used that, that it would be my fault if they didn't sign. So I guess you were wrong about that.
Well, when I said what I said Thursday night, I fully expected something to happen on Friday. And then,
I'm wrong.
I don't want to get into what you said and the negativity that you brought up.
You
are not going to make
you got to give me credit and say that the caving part of this did not nix the deal, because you said that it was going to, people were going to hear that, and this thing was going to go south because of that, and it didn't. So I want an apology. I'm sitting here having your back the whole time. The whole time having your back on Monday morning, killing people for their headlines.
I don't care about that.
You don't care about me having your back?
No, I don't care about the headline. One headline. You know, like, I care about the one thing I will say, and this is where what you did for me meant a lot to me, is that you did point out that not one baseball insider refuted what I was saying. Because they knew I was close. I was right there. And but then again, it's not about me. What it is, it's about the Mets.
It's about you. It's more interesting when you're involved. You know what I'm saying?
I understand. But I'm just telling you, so I now could go back and I can say to my trusted source that I do trust you, because I screamed at that source.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, let this person have it.
Mm.
And I said, are you? And he goes, no, just hang in there. Stay with it. Everything will be fine. I said, okay, all right. I'm going to stay with it. And that's why I told you yesterday, I said, I still am 100% behind Pete Alonso signing with the Mets. And sure enough, it happened last night. And people tend to forget that, you know, Scott Boras's office and, you know, the gaggle of people that he works with about 100, I think, in Boras Industries, I think it's called, out there in Newport Beach, California, you know, is 3 years, 3 hours behind us. So that's why some of these things tend to happen a little bit later than they normally would, is because of where his offices are. And I would just say that it's a great morning to be a Met fan. That's what I'm most.
Yeah.
I'm satisfied that, yes, I was somewhat right that he was getting ready to sign. I'm really happy this morning that he did sign, and I'm really happy for my team. I mean, I'm telling you right now, as a Met fan, I can't remember the last offseason, maybe coming off of the World Series, but the last offseason that I was this jacked up about looking forward to the season starting.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely up there, and I don't want to think about the other years that I was jacked up in an offseason, because a lot of those didn't work out with free agents or, you know, coming off a playoff run, but I agree with you. This one with Soto and Alonso coming back, and there's two parts of this. There's the immediate, which you're talking about, which is Pete is back for next year, guaranteed. He got a lot of money in that first year, $30 million. He's got to be satisfied with that. And then also there's the second part of this, which is if he has a great season and everything works out and he looks healthy and plays another 162 and has a great year, you know, he could opt out and the Mets could decide to keep him. And if not, he could opt out and the Mets could go get Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Exactly. It's a meeting. It's a halfway meeting of everybody. So it's another prove it year for him, but he's being paid for what he has done for the Mets. They're paying him. And I think, and incentivizing him with this type of contract to hopefully go out and hit 50 home runs. I mean, it's all there for him now. I mean, the lineup is there. He's got protection in the lineup. I mean, Vientos should take the next step. I mean, come on. This is great. This is awesome news this morning. I don't want to be, there's nothing negative about it. I don't want to hear any crap. It's not my money that Steve Cohen is signing. But yet again, Steve Cohen has stepped up to the plate and got this guy for us to sign a contract. And I can't say enough about the ownership that tries to do the right thing and tries to bring together a group of guys that they can win with and keep the fans happy at the same time. It's not usual that it happens this way.
No, and it's also not usual that you look at something like this that went on for months and months and months and became public and the owners talking about it at the Amazing Fest, where you look at it and say, this is a good deal for both sides. Both sides really did get what they wanted, which was the Mets did not want a really long-term deal. with Pete Alonso. They wanted him back this year. That was clear. Pete Alonso didn't want to sign a long-term deal where he was coming off a terrible year. He wanted a year with Juan Soto in the lineup, and it, obviously that's going to, you would imagine that's going to help him, so then he can opt out next year, hit free agency, and then maybe get a big contract. So, I mean, both sides are happy with this. And I don't want to, you know, during the season, you know, after we just had a full year of Pete Alonso free agency talk, it's going to happen again. You know, where, oh, is he going to opt out? I mean, if he's at the All-Star break and he's leading the National League in home runs, that conversation is going to come up. Well, he's going to opt out. Do you re-sign him?
Or do you trade him?
You don't trade him. They better be close to first place.
Yeah, you hope they are. But the point is that right now it's game on. It's game on for the Mets. They're pretty much finished with everything that they're doing. They're going to go into spring training with a full roster. Hopefully everybody's happy. Everybody's motivated. And really, they still have to do it on the field. They got to come up in the clutch like they did in the second half of the season. And hopefully they can build on all of the positivity that we took out of last year. I mean, I kind of feel like that's where the Knicks were last year. They fell apart at the end because they got injured. But we fell in love with the team because of the effort that they gave. And then they went out and they added Karl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges. And the next thing you know, like, you think you have a potential championship team. Now, whether it's not enough to get over Boston or Cleveland or maybe Oklahoma City, that's yet to be seen. But they added to their team just like the Mets have added to their team. And they kept some of their guys that, you know, that we as Met fans really, really wanted. And one of those guys is the polar bear. You know, I know this sounds ridiculous, but I'm really happy for that 10 to 15 year old fan who loves this guy and has his jersey and brings the signs to Citi Field. I mean, I am happy for those kids because when they wake up and go to school this morning, they're going to find out that their favorite player is back on their favorite team. And I remember those days as a kid when Tom Seaver was effing traded and how demoralizing it was. And I know that's a part of it. And I know it may sound sappy, but the little kid in me feels great for the younger Met fan.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Tom is on Long Island. What's up, Tom?
Tommy.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Just want to say I'm a Mets fan, and usually I disagree with BT, but I think your lineup is spot on 100%. I was arguing with nerds yesterday on Twitter. I don't know how you don't bat Vientos second in between Lindor and Soto, give him the ultimate protection. He's a budding superstar. That's what you want. I don't think it's even. I see people batting Vientos fifth. I'm like, what are we doing here? But anyway, besides that, Sal, I don't get why you have to poo-poo Alonso as much as you do. I know he had a down year, but you're saying two down years.
Yeah.
Two years ago, he had 46 homers and 118 RBIs.
He had 217.
Okay, he had 46 homers, 118 RBIs.
Right.
How many people do that in the league?
He had 217 again.
How many people did 46 homers and 118 RBIs?
His career average is 250.
It's 250.
Yeah, okay.
So that's
a major drop-off from his career average.
Okay, should we have got rid of Lindor if there's first year as a Met?
No, I'm saying I want consistency. And by the way, if he bounced back last year, so then last year the average came back up a little bit, still not to his career average, but where were the ribbies? And where were the homers?
He had 90 runs and 85 RBIs and 34 homers on a down year.
Right.
His average is 41 homers over a course of a 162 games.
Yeah, I don't care about the average. I care about what he's done recently. What he's done recently. Two years ago,
he had 46 home runs.
Yeah, okay. Well, last year he had 34. What? That's a significant drop-off.
People are saying he's not clutch. I was trying to look it up before I came on here. He has at least 10 walk-off hits in his career. Big hits. Last year, he was the first player to ever hit a go-ahead homer trailing in the ninth inning ever in the history of Major League Baseball.
Okay, he had a huge home run, one of them. Todd Pratt also had a big home run. Tom, and thank you for the call. Todd Pratt, Benny Agbayani also hit big home runs in the postseason. I mean, come on. Well, you can't judge these guys based off of one home run. I know that Pete is a much better, impact player than those guys that I just referenced, but let's stop saying, well, his home run against Evan Williams, it's the greatest home run ever. It might have been the greatest home run ever. That's not why you commit to a player. Hey, here's what I'll ask you guys. This is not just me poo-pooing Pete. If he's so great, he's so good, everybody loves him, who else hits 40 home runs and drives it 100 runs? Who else in a down year, it's 34 home runs, 88 RBI? If he's so magnificent, how come nobody wanted him? How come nobody wanted him? I mean, there were how many other teams in the sport? Pete Alonso's great. He had the greatest home run ever. He had 46 homers 2 years ago. He had 34 homers in a down year last year. Well, then how come he nor his super agent could get him anything better than essentially a one-year deal? 2 years, $54 million? For the greatest, who does that? Answer me that question. Nobody else wanted him? Why?
Well, I mean, I don't think people are saying he's the greatest.
Yeah,
I think,
heard the caller.
Yeah, but I think, again, I think that's a lot of the sentiment. I think for me, like, if this was 6-7 years, like, it's even 4 or 5, like, horrendous. But I don't know if Beatty's a major league player. I don't know what Mauricio is going to look like at third base. I don't know if Acuna can play third base, though I do like the life in his bat. He hits it pretty hard, but who knows? The Mets are better.
Yeah.
And, you know, even Pete on a down year, like if Beatty ever had 34 bombs and 89 ribbies, you know, it's statue time. Pete gets that. It's like, he's done. And I'm not even a big believer in his talents. I'm in such a weird place with this.
Well, this whole thing is weird.
It is. And I said a while ago, it is the most, and I really mean this, and I thought about this, man, from every team's angle over the last 30 years or so. I think it's been the most complex, confounding negotiation of any star in New York in my lifetime.
Right.
Because he's not injury prone like Donnie with the back or David Wright with the back or Ewing at the end or whatever, right? So it's not an injury, plays every day. He's never in trouble. So he's not a young Doc, a young Daryl, mm-hmm. doing drugs, boozing, getting arrested. He's a little weird, a little goofy, a little quirky, but he's a Boy Scout off the field. No issues there. In terms of productivity, you know, I mean, you could say the Mets aren't the Yanks or the Dodgers. I get that, but they still have a record book. He's shooting up it in some of these most in some of the most pertinent offensive categories. And if and he's gonna bust Darryl's home run record this year, and he's loved by the fans. Yet, and when you look at those individual components, you just say, all right, 6-7 years. But you aren't wrong when you say. And I get it. I'm watching the arms flail of the theatrics. You're having fun. You mean it. I get it. You're not wrong, though. Like, where is he? Nobody wants him. Well, nobody does want him because he does a lot of things poorly.
One thing.
It's just a very complex, odd negotiation.
Sorry to cut you off there.
That's all good.
So one thing that we overlook, right, because we're looking at Pete, and what's the number one thing that we look at? The power numbers.
Yeah.
We could look at the average as well. The best measurement that you always use.
So it was OPS.
Okay.
What was it, 788 last year?
His best OPS his rookie year. Robust 941.
I mean, that's a massive. That's like Soto-ish.
And that's where first impression.
Yeah, yeah.
You fall in love with the guy. I mean, I loved him as much. I'm like, geez, look at this guy.
Yeah,
this guy's a beast.
Uh-huh.
Big home. 53, 120, that OPS. And not only that, he was hitting big home run, like big moments. Okay. From then on, it has not been the same at all. I remember the pandemic year. I'm going to throw that out, the COVID year. But I remember watching him thinking, this is not. Like, he's having a bad year. McNeil, too, I didn't like that year.
Mm.
Okay, 2021. So he went from 941, let's throw out the pandemic year.
Yep.
863 OPS, 37.94. He hit 262.
860. I would say off the top of my head, I'd say there's probably 25 to 30 guys in baseball that are around 860 or higher. Like, it's good. It's not amazing. I mean, it's really good, but it's
37.94, hit 262. 863 OPS.
Yep.
You would take that. Like,
yes,
okay, maybe it leveled off a little bit
like,
from the rookie year, but that's a big season.
Not a lot around them, too. Keep going.
The next year, 40, 131, hit 271.
You love that. He'll never see 271
and
again.
869. Clearly, 869 OPS.
Uh-huh.
Clearly, his, I don't want to say best season because it's rookie year, but like, okay, this is now where he should be sitting.
Legitimate right? All-star, no doubt about it. Rising, at that point, maybe a rising superstar. Still a little bit.
Bingo, you nailed it.
Yep.
Rising star, impact bat, middle of the order, no doubt about it. 41, 31, even if they come down a little bit.
Yep, yep.
270, that's a good.
It's phenomenal.
That is a great average.
Uh-huh.
Not good, great. And you take the OPS 869. The last two seasons, I don't know how you can just ignore and just say, well, he had 46 and 118 in 2023. The OPS down to 821. The batting average, 217. Like, that is...
It's a big drop. Now, there have been... Now, he's not great, but there have been great players who had a weird down year.
Right, okay.
The problem is...
Bingo.
He
you're right.
Didn't have a big follow-up.
And at that point, if you go back and listen, and I don't know if you can at this point, but at that point, I remember saying, before last year... When we did our overrun, Pete is going to have a big bounce back year. He's going to bet on himself. He'll be back. I really believe it. Because coming off a 46-118 year.
And you liked him better than me.
Yeah.
That's the irony of 100%. All this stuff going back to a year ago.
Even though the average dipped, I still felt like, all right, he'll be fine. But what happened last year? So it's not just that one outlier with the lower OPS down to 821 and the low average down to 217. Last year, the power was down significantly. 34 home runs, which is the fewest that he's had in a full season. The 88 RBIs, which is also the fewest that he has had in a full season. The average was 240, which is better than the 217, but still his
way worst below his average. Yep.
In a full season.
Yep.
And the OPS for the first time ever
under 8.
788.
Yeah. No, listen, there's warning flares, which is why I've been very critical. But he's still better than what you would have had.
Well, I'm not arguing that.
You know what I mean? And that's why I think the fans are like, we get it. We got Soto. I just and I know
I
we
just
want to
make it. Yeah, I just want to make it clear. Like, it's not me. Like poo-pooing Pete, or like I'm just giving you the reality.
As I have as well.
Yeah, that's all.
I think it hits more because you're a Met fan, and fans got to get over it.
Okay, well,
yeah.
Well, right,
I mean, it's not your job to sit there and throw pom-poms.
Correct. I'm trying to.
He's had two down years.
I mean, I
get it,
dude. That's all that I'm saying. And the market speaks for itself. Like there are a lot of factors here. I'm not minimizing it. I'm not poo-pooing it. It makes the Mets better. I wanted them back. As a matter of fact, a couple of months ago, I was saying just give them an extra year, 4 for 120, and get it done. You don't have any better options. Bring it back. Then all that nonsense, him turning down deals, the back and forth.
Yeah.
The Mets said they moved on. I moved on. And it's hard for me when you move on to then get back together. And even under these circumstances and just a two-year deal, which is still delaying the inevitable. This is not a marriage. This is a speed round of dating, basically.
It's going every slump that Pete has, it's going to be topic A. Especially if they're losing. Ligon. Yeah, I think they'll be a pretty good team this year. And Soto could mask some of that and some of the other pieces that we talk about all the time. If the Mets are not looking like they should, and he's scuffling every single day, Mets made a mistake, or well, I don't want to go through this again. I hope the ops get lost. Like that will come.
The same fans were with me a year ago.
I know. That will come today. Enjoy it.
Joining us right now, you guys know him from BTN Sal. You know him from SNY, Baseball Night in New York. Sal Licata, back on the Fan on the late night.
Keith, thanks for having me. It feels weird. I mean, I used to do this from home quite a bit at 12 o'clock or come into the studio as we would exchange chairs right there. You'd be walking out, I'd come in. So I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, of course. I mean, when this broke, I started talking. Everybody started putting our heads together. I'm like, who can we get? I saw you literally on SNY. I sent you a text like, hey, can you chime in? So let's have at it. Pete Alonso is back. Did you have any doubts?
It's a good question. Here's the way that I would say it. When the Mets themselves said they were ready to move on, basically, and expected Alonso to sign elsewhere, I kind of moved on and was like, all right, I'm done with it. I don't know, Keith, if you remember a situation like this. I don't. Where, okay, he's going to be back. He turns down multiple deals, and the Mets just get frustrated to a point where they say, okay, like, we're moving on. We don't think he wants what we have to offer, so we're planning without him. He's going to sign elsewhere. And then eventually it comes back. So, I guess I did have doubts, and I mentally moved on, but here we are, and in the last couple of weeks, after Amazing Day, I felt like it was going to happen. After Cohen was transparent and said never say never and talked about the frustrations, I felt that it was going to happen, and I think it's a team-friendly deal, and I think for Alonso, he's betting on himself, which you'd hope it can make him happy for a year, and he's got to go out there and produce now. It's on him.
Yeah, I can't remember another situation like this, specifically because I can't remember another situation where, you know, they kind of called a guy's bluff that didn't have any other suitors. Like, that's the thing, right? Like, there was no other offer out there from any other team. And also, I guess the power of the Mets is that you have the owner that could overpay the guy for a year. Like, he's the highest paid first baseman in baseball now. That AAV is super high. Like, nobody else was going to do that for Pete Alonso. And that's where, I guess, you know, in the negotiations, they gave a little bit. They weren't going to give on the years, but they gave the upfront money. They gave the $10 million signing bonus and $30 million a year. He's going to make $40 million this year. Like, Judge makes $40 million this year.
Right, and he's clearly not worth it, right? But the thing that I like about that is that, like I was saying yesterday, it might have been yesterday on BT and Sal, where I started saying, like, I think it'd be a mistake at this point for the Mets and Pete to reunite under the assumption that he wasn't going to get a deal that was really going to make him happy. Like the 3 years, $60 million or $70 million, I don't think he was going to love that deal. This, however, you just brought up an excellent point. He's going to be the highest paid first baseman in the sport, and he's getting the $10 million bonus. So for 1 year, he's making $40 million bucks. That's going to make him happy. Now, do I have concerns about him producing when he's betting on himself? I do, and that's not based on, you know, just a feeling. It's based on what happened a year ago, and there's been decline the last 2 years. Everything, though, was set up for Pete to have success. He should be happy because he's the highest paid first baseman in the league. He gets the bonus. He's got Soto around him in that lineup. Vientos, however they want to work it, they are loaded now more so than they've ever been. So there are no more excuses. I don't want to see 217. I don't want to see 30 homers. I want to see 40 homers, over 100 ribbies, 250 average, an impactful season. That is what $30 million plus a $10 million bonus should get you. That's what Pete Alonso should do this year.
Yeah, it's another bet on yourself year. This whole year, I was saying that this would play right into the Mets' hands. He has a down year. He ends up having no market. He turns it on in the postseason, which only benefits the Mets, which also makes them more inclined to lean in here, give him the more money. And then the fans show up to Amazing Day. We want Pete. Re-sign Pete. They lean in, and they give him a little bit more money. But now we're right back to where we were last year. Okay, you're paying him. You're going to want him to produce. Can he do that under the pressure? And what are we thinking now for beyond this year? I've kind of floated out there like, okay, this guy is going to probably play a little bit more carefree. He's also in a lineup with Juan Soto. Whether he's hitting right behind him or whether he's hitting behind Vientos, we don't know yet. But I think he can get back to being his usual self. Hit, you know, 40 bombs, 45 bombs, maybe have 130 ribbies. Like, if he does that and opts out, it's going to just be him and Vladdy as far as first baseman and, you know, power hitters in the free agent market next year. And the writing may be on the wall for the Mets to still get Vladdy and for Pete to, you know, go back to Toronto and say, hey, remember we were talking last year? You still got some of that money that you wanted to give Ohtani, that you wanted to give Juan Soto? I'm down to take it in 2026.
And I think what this is just delaying the inevitable. I do not believe. Now, look, it could be proven wrong. It has happened before. But I do think that it's delaying the inevitable in that I don't believe this is going to be a long-term commitment. Even if Pete does go out there and produce, which I think everybody's hoping for. Pete, Scott Boras, the Mets, Cohen, Stearns, the Mets fans, they all want Pete Alonso to have a monster year. But if that does happen, he's going to opt out. And the Mets, I still don't think, are going to be willing to give him the long-term deal. I don't even know who else would, but I don't believe the Mets would, even in that scenario. So this may be just another, you know, extension of what we had last year, one more year with Pete. And the Mets have a loaded lineup going on this year, so we'll see what happens. But I don't think that this is the long-term commitment that is going to ultimately satisfy Mets fans or Pete Alonso.
Yeah, I had a caller, the first caller tonight was like, you know, but you know, this is a short-term deal or a long-term. Like, there's no way. There is no long-term play here. This is really a one-year thing. And I think all parties are content. It's February 6th. Like, they're reporting next week. I know Pete doesn't want to drag this out as other Boras clients did last year, and it affected their season. But here we are again with another Boras client getting, you know, big money up front and an opt-out. I already mentioned Blake Snell. How do you feel this is going to play in the clubhouse? Do you think there's going to be, and I had a call on that as well, animosity, any hard feelings? I'm like, if Pete has any animosity, he should harbor it, channel it, turn it into fuel. But what does he have to be mad about? He's about to make $40 million this year. He's one of the higher paid players, at least for the year, in that clubhouse.
I don't think there would have ever been animosity with his teammates. The teammates seem to love him. I mean, I spoke with Brendan Nimmo. He wanted them back, clearly. I think Pete is beloved by a lot of the players in that clubhouse currently, and I think they had a lot of fun last year. What I was concerned about would have been Pete's mindset if he had to come back with his tail tucked between his legs, not getting the contract that he wanted, and just, you know how it is, like, put yourself in his spot. If you feel like you're not getting what you deserve and you think you've earned more, and then you go back and you see other guys making so much money and this guy's making that much money, whether it's Nimmo or Lindor or Soto, and you feel hurt when you used to be one of the guys. However, I think that is now eliminated from the equation because he can walk in with his head held high saying, I am the highest paid first baseman in baseball. I am getting $40 million this year if you tack in the bonus, to your point. And I think that that's something that he can be proud of. So I don't expect any animosity between the teammates. And I think Pete should come in with all things considered, being the market what it was and how this thing dragged out. I think Pete should come in relatively happy knowing that he's got another chance to bet on himself and make potentially even more money after this year.
Yeah, no hard feelings, water under the bridge, let bygones be bygones. Ultimately, everybody should be happy about this. I'm sure I'll get a call at, you know, 1:30 in the morning, somebody complaining about it, but everybody should be happy. I saw Jose Reyes tweet out, thanks to me for closing the deal on SNY today, and he was sitting with you guys. I think that the combination of Stearns and Cohen, like, these two guys are actually the richest and smartest guy in the room. They can put their heads together and fix situations. And I said this when Stearns came in last year. This is the end of the LOL Mets because you have the richest owner in the sport and one of the smartest minds in the sport. They can figure out every situation and win most of the time, especially with these negotiations. How do you feel about the offseason they had now that Pete is back? Do you still want Dylan Cease? Do you still want Jose Iglesias or Mark Canna? Or I've already had calls about those three guys. How do you feel about this offseason now that Pete is back?
Yeah, I think it's been a monster offseason. As a matter of fact, I think it was despicable that there were fans that booed Stearns. Can you imagine? Look, Yankee fans booed Aaron Judge in the postseason after he hit 62 home runs, so I
different.
Know that it happens. Yeah, well, it is. I think it was despicable that the Met fans booed David Stearns and Steve Cohen after they just signed Juan Soto. Like, come on, what are we doing here? And it wasn't just that. They also brought back Manaea. I mean, you could mention A.J. Minter. So the Mets made their bullpen better. I think their rotation is better. If not, at the very least, it's as good as it was going into last year, but I do think that it's better. And you bring in Juan Soto, so your lineup is going to be better. And now, on top of that, they bring back Pete. But my issue was that there was a lack of trust in Stearns and Cohen, which there should not have been. Whether they have got Alonso back or not, you should trust that they're doing the right thing. And this, to me, was always on Pete. So, yeah. I mean, I believe in Cohen, and I believe in Stearns, and it's not just blind faith. It's because look at their actions here. To your point, if they want somebody, they're going to get them. They're also not going to be reckless and stupid, and I do think in this particular case, they gave fans what they wanted by overextending a little bit. They know Pete Alonso's not worth $30 million a year or the signing bonus. Cohen probably just said, look, let's just get it over with here. Get him back. Let's see what he does for one more year. It's going to make our lineup better right now in 2025 and worry about Vlad or whatever else when that becomes available next year.
Yeah, I think you can do it when you have the richest owner in the sport. He doesn't care about a luxury tax. He doesn't care about, you know, $40 million to Pete. And it's a play to make the fans happy, make the teammates happy. And then even, you know, thinking down the line, Pete has the chance here to hit 27 homers and be the all-time leader past David Wright, past Daryl Strawberry, and that'll get celebrated. And maybe that is his, like, you know, on his way out, you know, the celebration of, like, you know, thing that happens this year. Obviously, you want to win a championship, but that's a lot harder to do. I mean, I think he's a lock if he's healthy to hit 27 homers, and you'll have that, and the fans will be kind of like, you know, watching that. Like, we're watching Ovechkin right now. Like, it's something that, you know, fans can rally around, and it's a play to put butts in the seats and sell tickets. And I just think these guys got it figured out. I think together, Stearns and Cohen, the money and the brains, they're going to just keep winning. They're going to keep figuring out things like this.
Well, now they got to win. And that's what I love about this. For years, it was complaining about ownership because they weren't doing enough. Oh, they're not spending money. Go get this guy. Go get that guy. How could you lose this guy? Well, now I would feel comfortable. I could say it myself, but if I were Stearns and Cohen, I would feel comfortable going into the club. I was like, this is it. We've done all we can do. Cohen spent the money. Stearns built the team. Now it is on the players, whether it's Soto, whether it is Manaea, whether it is certainly Pete Alonso, who's going to be front and center again now that he got paid here at least this 1 year with all the protection, seeing what he could do. It is on the players to perform. The Mets have built a team on paper going into the season that they should be able to compete with anybody. I know nobody's as good as the Dodgers on paper, but still, no excuses. This is the big boy territory now. Yankees are held to the highest standards. The Mets should be held to the same standards. Now the key, though, the hardest part is going out there backing it up, and they actually have to win. But that is on the players. It is not on the general manager or the owner.
Sal, go get some rest. I know you'll be back here in 9 hours. Thanks for joining me, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate the offer. Fun to chop it up with you a little bit, and good to be on these overnight hours. I do miss the callers, so hopefully people listen. Had some fun listening to us chopping it up a little bit. Keep up the good work, Keith. We'll talk to you soon.
Sal Licata, ladies and gentlemen. You'll hear him on BT and Sal at 10 a.m.
Let's go to Emmett in Rockland, New York. How are you, Emmett?
What's going on, boys?
What's up, man?
Nothing. So, you know, I'm fast asleep last night, and I get shaken awake, and I'm like, what? And the girlfriend goes, buddy, you're snoring so loud. I'm like, oh, my God, let me go to sleep. And then as I'm going back to sleep, she goes, oh, by the way, Pete signed. Wait, what? How much? How long?
How much?
What the hell? Now I'm wide awake.
So your girlfriend, is she a Met fan, or is she casual? Like, how is she as a sports fan?
She's a Yankee fan, actually.
So did she say it like a disgusted way? Like, hey, loser, Pete Alonso's coming back.
I think she woke me up just to tell me, but also annoy me, you know?
Yeah, like you're snoring, you're kind of annoying.
But I wonder what you should have kept it, because I want to ask him what his response was. Like, was he like, yes, or was he like, ugh?
No Met fan is ugh. I'm sorry. Like, there's no real Met fan that's like, oh, we brought him back.
I know.
You may not love Pete Alonso, but there's no way you can bring him back and not be, this is best for business for 1 year.
Yes, I agree with that.
Like, if this was a long-term deal, sure, it's an argument.
But there was a lot of Met fans that were ready to see him go. They didn't mind.
No, but they were
maybe
ready.
Maybe not ready to kick him out the door, but there was a lot of Met fans that were like, all right, whatever.
Salicotta! I don't think Sal was like that. He wanted Pete Alonso gone?
Sal Licata's flip-flop more than politicians. Trying to look for new lobbyists.
New lobbyists? It's funny. That last caller, way he found out about Pete Alonso's his girlfriend waking him up, I had that happen to me with my wife when she was my... Actually, we were married at the time. She woke me up to tell me they re-signed Yoenis Cespedes. Mm. And she did it excitedly. Right. Like, she wakes me up. She's like, baby, baby. I'm like, what's up? She's like, Yoenis is coming back. There's so many jokes I can make right now.
She's Yoenis.
Yeah.
You had
that one queued up.
Oh, I sure did.
Yeah. And that's how I found out. I remember being so pumped up. And I think it was the second time Yoenis came back, which did not work out. Remember, there were two Yoenises, which could be the case with Pete, right? Like, they re-sign Yoenis the first time on the three-year opt-out deal. He opts out, has a good year.
Yeah.
Then they bring him back on the four-year deal, which turned out to be the absolute disaster because, of course, he got run over by a cow.
What was that fella's name?
A boar.
It was a boar.
Boar. Yes.
What was that fella's name that just called? Emmett?
Yeah.
So Emmett and Evan, you fall asleep before your girlfriend or your wife? That's, you can't do that. You're the protector of the house. You have to wait for your family to fall asleep first, and then you fall asleep. You can't be going to sleep
look
before your
Tommy,
girl.
Knowing the manly thing.
Yeah, he's
no, manly. It's just like a protection thing. Am I wrong here? No. Sean, you have kids.
You're dead wrong. You can only be a man for so long as your wife scrolls Instagram for the 15th straight hour.
You got to be the protector.
It's funny. Like 98% of my days, as Tiki will tell you, because I talk about how I'm up at all hours, I stay up well past my wife.
No, you do. This was previous Evan.
The Cespedes one was like prior to kids. And
prior
to the Rico too. Yes. And I was excited. I remember when she woke me up, and we had a good time. It was a very good night. Very good night. You know what I mean? Let's go to Lou in Colorado. What's up, Lou?
Yo, ain't it? Good afternoon, gentlemen. Before I start, Tiki, I'm not a Giant fan. I'm a Dolphins fan, but you were a beast on the field.
Thank brother. You, bud.
Before I get to my Peter line, and I'm a Yankee fan, so whatever, but before I get, Evan, you ate one gummy. And you got paranoid?
Yeah. Yeah, and it was
that
only like...
Horrible. So I'm just going to say, I work in the industry.
Yeah.
I work for the biggest edible gummy company in the United States.
Wow.
And so do you know how many milligrams you took?
Yeah, I think it was 4.5 or something like that.
Oh, my God, Evan. That's so sad.
Yeah, but wait, Lou,
Evan is a lightweight.
Yeah, I've never.
That's lightweight. Not even a lightweight. That's, I don't even know what's beneath the lightweight. He's like 4 steps behind.
That would be a featherweight, Lou.
Yes, he's worse than a featherweight. Evan, just give me advice. Give it another try, but you look for two things. Look for a sativa that will kind of like keep you awake and keep you energized.
Right.
Look for something. You have to look and see what it's made with. If it's made with live rosin or it's made with dissolute and stuff like that, you might have took a live rosin one, and that was a much higher potency than a dissolute one.
Yeah, I think that the next time, because I would try it again. I think what I would do the next time is make sure it's not like a work night and my kids are completely away. So that if I have any kind of reaction, I don't have to worry about that aspect. But, yeah, I'll try it again. But it was, you got to remember, Lou, it was my first time ever. So
no, I understand. What you want to do is when you do it, do something you're going to, I know you're doing the podcast.
Right.
Put on a funny move. Do something that you enjoy. Like, I know, Evan, you like to watch, you know, old sports games from 30 years ago. Put a game on, eat a gummy, chill out.
Watch an old sports game.
I'm a loser.
That's another topic. What sports game should you watch on a gummy? A lot of options. You know what Sean's going to do? He's doing the Giant Colt game this year that they won on a gummy.
If the Giants draft a quarterback at 3, that is my plan. I'm going to do a watch-along gummy, one giant step. Where, you know why, Teague? I think you're going to like this.
Why?
You were angry at me that Monday, and many Giant fans felt like me. We didn't properly appreciate and enjoy the win. So if they get the quarterback anyway, we want to go back and say, now let's enjoy the win.
Oh, I got a great idea, Sean. I got a great idea.
That's a good one.
Can you
watch
and I...
Watch it in a different context.
That's a good one.
Can you and I, and only you and I, maybe Mike Biseglia, a dear friend of mine, if the Nets win the lottery, can we go back and watch that Rockets game on a gummy?
Let's do it.
Thank God for drugs.
You know what? For that, Ev, I'll come up to your house.
Thank you. That'll be an event, all right. Let's go to Steve in Montville. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, man?
First thing I'd like to say is I'm very, very happy that Pete is back in the fold because it was getting to the point where I was thinking, I don't care if he signs with the Yomiuri Giants. I just want this to end.
Right.
But I'm happy he's here.
Mm-hmm.
But that leads me to two questions. First one is, does this open the possibility of trading McNeil for some more pitching? And secondly, and more importantly, what are you guys going to do when the beard clogs the toilet?
Yeah, some people are saying that. So we're going to have a ceremony later where we are going to flush my beard that I cut off back in May. I was growing it in honor of Pete Alonso and hope that Pete would get an extension. I think what we're going to do is we're just going to call someone up to help us out. Like, I mean, what are we going to do?
Right.
If we clog the toilet, we clog. If it dies,
why,
it dies.
Why would hair clog a toilet?
Yeah, I don't get that. Especially like it tiny.
Does it expand?
So, I'll get a plunger if it clogs.
Too much of it. It's no different than when your hair knots. Once it goes down there wet, it becomes thicker, knots up, and creates a netting inside the pipes.
Interesting.
Which then will cause more clogging and backing up.
I could see that for like my girl's hair, because it's long and curly. It does that, Sean. It knots up. But when you got like beard hair, it's like short and stubbly.
But that is not short and stubbly beard hair. That's thicker, longer.
Yeah, it was a very thick beard, as you may recall. Mm. By the way, it is now 3:00. So the NBA trade deadline has passed. Obviously, there was a lot of action over the last couple of days. Late last night, Jimmy Butler was traded to the Golden State Warriors. There were rumors of a three-way trade that could have sent Kevin Durant back to Golden State, but KD stepped in the way and said, no, thank you. The New York Knicks made a trade last night when they dealt Jericho Sims to the Milwaukee Bucks. They got back DeLon Wright, and as of right now, nothing major has happened, but let's send it to the NBA trade desk to find out what has happened now in the last 15 to 20 minutes as the NBA trade deadline has come and gone.
So my desk is just going to take you to Sham's Twitter account for the last half hour for anybody interested. All right, here we go. 39 minutes ago, the Clippers sent Terrence Mann and Bones Highland to the Hawks for Bogdan Bogdanovich in 3 second round picks.
Wow, okay.
The Hawks, very active, traded Cody Zeller and Houston's 2028 second round pick back to the Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit, the Pistons, got Dennis Schroeder from the Jazz.
And Dennis Schroeder was traded
yesterday, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in the Jimmy Butler trade. Because remember, the Nets traded Dennis Schroeder to Golden State. So he was in the Jimmy Butler trade. I thought he was going to Miami, which I was excited about. And then he actually went to Utah because it was like a six-way trade. And now Utah's actually shipping him to where, you said?
Detroit. He's a Piston now.
Hey, playoff team right now.
Could be a spark plug for the Pistons. Shams also has the Grizzlies trading Marcus Smart and a 2025 first-round pick to the Wizards in a multi-team trade. A couple picks going back. The Clippers traded Kevin Porter Jr. to the Bucks, and the Pacers traded James Wiseman and Cash to the Raptors.
Interesting. I would assume Marcus Smart's a buyout candidate. Now, he's also hurt, so I got to see when he's able to come back. March 1st is that deadline when you can sign guys in the buyout market and they'll be eligible for the postseason. And that's where the Knicks are going to add people. Like, unfortunately, I think it was obvious over the last day and a half that we're just weren't going to be able to add anybody. And we went through it yesterday based on salaries and making things work and not having assets to trade. So the buyout market is really where the Knicks could be active. So the last hour of the deadline wasn't crazy, but an all-time NBA trade deadline.
Right. It was a lot that went on.
Yeah. When you think about the major moves.
Right, it was a ton.
Absolutely.
De'Aaron Fox and Zach LaVine.
They almost forget about that. That's like an afterthought kind of trade.
David Stearns is brilliant, and Steve Cohen is a billionaire who doesn't make bad deals.
There you go.
Yes, that life form.
Yeah, I don't think I'm singing. It has nothing to do with Pete. I just can't do it.
Maggie.
I'll try.
Back in town.
That's as good as I got for you today. 204. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you for 3 hours until we get all the way to 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. A happy Fliegelman hitting me with the Mets front office and owner quotes right out the gate. And before we get into the contract, because obviously it's finally over with Pete Alonso, the first and foremost is, this is what needed to happen for the New York Mets. All right, before we get into whether or not Pete Alonso swallowed his pride, whether or not this is a brilliant deal from the Mets, all the maturations of the contract, first and foremost, the New York Mets are better today than they were yesterday. The New York Mets are more suited to compete against the Dodgers, the Phillies, and the Braves, and the National League than they were yesterday. This is a move that has been really long in the making, and for me, should have been done the second Pete Alonso was willing to take a 3-year deal, and then absolutely felt like was going to get done after Amazing Day, the booze, the reaction from the owner, and then the reports of going back into negotiating the next day. And it felt like from that moment on, that was it was there was no other place. And I know a lot of people will tell you from the end of the season there was no other place. And certainly the market for Pete collapsed on him, not only with the Mets, but with everyone in baseball. But before we get into the contract, let's just say, I don't know if there are any Met fans. I know I've dealt with a handful when I was talking about how the Mets don't want him, and a lot of Met fans agreed. I got a lot of pushback, but I also got a lot of, hey, he's an aging slugger. He was the most unclutch. I don't know how you can look at this lineup today, and we'll go through the different ideas about the lineup, but you look at it now, and you've added Pete Alonso, who is this side of Aaron Judge, the most reliable, guaranteed 30-home run guy in all of Major League Baseball. He plays every day, and even on down years, he hits 30-plus home runs. To not bring him back after signing Juan Soto would have been a tragic mistake. That's why I've been screaming that the Mets need to get it done. That's why I've been on ownership and David Stearns to go get it done, because it never made any sense, despite whether or not he's the wrong side of 30 and despite whether or not he's a perfect fit for what David Stearns likes to build with his rosters. If you're going to bring in Juan Soto here, you've got to follow it up with stabilizing that lineup. And now you look at this lineup and how good it is. I heard Keith going through it. Like, you look at this lineup now. This is one of the top lineups in baseball with Pete Alonso. There's no doubt. You've got Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Vientos, Winker, Nimmo. I mean, this is as good a lineup. I don't know if I put it up there with the Dodgers just yet, but last year they were in the top 10 in Major League Baseball. Last year they had as many guys with a 700-plus OPS as anyone in baseball for a long stretch. And right now, I still have questions about the rotation. I think the bullpen's okay. They've done some additions there to make it good, but this lineup now is a legitimate lineup that you can go compete against the Dodgers, against the Phillies, and against the Braves. It needed to happen, and it did. Now let's get to the contract as we find out that it ends up being a 2-year deal for $54 million, $30 million in the first year with an opt-out and a player option for the second year at $24 million. And to me, a couple of things about it. And I'm going to push back on the main narrative a little bit here. Like, everyone, I feel terrible for Pete, or, oh, man, what a great deal for the Mets to hold their line, and Pete swallowed some humble pie. I look at this contract, and I'll be totally honest with you. I honestly think once Pete Alonso swallowed his pride, because I don't think Pete Alonso swallowed his pride signing the contract today or yesterday. I think Pete Alonso swallowed his pride when he was willing to take a short-term deal, a three-year deal, a couple of weeks ago, a month and a half ago, whenever that was. Whenever Pete got off the long-term deal, that's when he swallowed his pride. Once he came up with the 3-year deal, I don't know if he could have got a better deal than this. Like, this is as good a deal as Pete Alonso could have got once he got off the long-term deal. For my money, I think Pete did as well as we could have expected. I mean, there were talks of Pete getting offered $21 to $23 million a year. Pete Alonso just became the highest paid first baseman annually in the history of the game. There's never been a first baseman who's made more money than Pete Alonso will make this coming year. Now, I know it's not the long-term deal, but it never was going to be the long-term deal. And we could talk, he turned down the contract extension, sure. From that moment to now, Pete got a terrible end of the bargain. And I do feel bad for Pete on that level. He bet on himself. He lost. But that's a year and a half ago. Once Pete Alonso realized his market wasn't there for him and he was willing to take the short-term deal, I think this is as good a deal as Pete Alonso could have got. I don't think Pete Alonso swallowed his pride. Because I'll be honest with you, I've been on it a lot. I know a lot of people have gotten on me, and I'm willing to say I'm wrong, and it felt like it changed after the amazing day, and you really got a sense the owner was pissed off. And from that moment, I've kind of changed my tune on, I still don't think David Stearns wants him, and I think David Stearns loves this contract because it's a one-year deal. There is no way Pete Alonso is opting into that second season. There is no way. Pete Alonso would have to have an injury-plagued year. If Pete Alonso has the exact same season this year that everybody considers, or has the same year this year that he had last year, that everybody considers a terrible year, he wasn't clutch, you know, he regressed again. If Pete Alonso hits 30 home runs, there is no way in hell he's not opting out and hitting free agency again. He'll only be a year older. He won't have the qualifying offer attached to him. And I don't know if he'll get $24 million per, but somebody without having to give up picks, somebody will give him a couple of years. He will not have to play on a one-year deal again next season unless he has just a horrible year or an injury-plagued year. If he hits 34 home runs, like you know he will, if he's healthy all year, there is no way this contract makes it to the second year. He's going to opt out. He might not get 24 like he'll get next year, but he will get a multi-year deal without the qualifying offer attached to him. So when it comes down to this final contract, I think I have to admit I'm wrong. Steve Cohen, to me, is the one who gave here at the end. Steve Cohen is the one, and I think it's Steve Cohen. I think the owner stepped in and said, let's get this done. Spring training is a couple of days away. I do not want this to linger. We know Pete wants to stay, and that's the other thing. We'll get to that in a second about how the fans should feel about Pete Alonso. But I think if we're talking about his market being nowhere and the Mets not bidding against themselves, we heard that constantly. Look, the smart Steve Cohen, the rich Steve Cohen doesn't make bad deals. The smart David Stearns isn't going to bid against himself. We still haven't heard of one single offer made to Pete Alonso. Not one. Like the Blue Jays thing seems fake now that they were at the 10-yard line. There has not been another single offer made. So why did the Mets... Why did the Mets give him $30 million? The offers we've heard from the Mets were $23 million. $68 million over 3 years. The Mets did, in the end, bid against themselves, and Steve Cohen was right to do so because it needed to get done. So in the end, Pete held out for the biggest money, and Pete got his $30 million per, even though it's only 1 year. He got it with the only team he wanted to be with. And that's the other thing, too. Because I know, you know, oh, if you really wanted to be a Met, Pete, you should sign the contract extension. If you really want to be a Met, Pete, you should come play ball. There is no doubt Pete Alonso was desperate to stay a New York Met. Pete Alonso was willing to come off the long-term deal to 3 years, a month and a half ago. I honestly believe not only did his market collapse and first baseman market collapse, overall, in general, in Major League Baseball. But I think a lot of it, qualifying offer, first base market collapsing, but also Pete Alonso, I don't think he ever gave any organization, no matter how many tricks Scott Boras can pull, I don't think Pete ever gave any organization an honest feeling that he was going to do anything else but take their offer back to the Mets and ultimately try and sign with the Mets. Pete wanted to be a New York Met. He bet on himself and lost, but ultimately, Met fans, this guy did everything he could. Did he want the most money he could make? Absolutely. And he got it. He got the highest contract annually that any first baseman's ever got. I prefer this deal. If I'm Pete, I prefer this deal to the 3-year, $70 million deal with an opt-out. You're looking to opt out anyway. He got the $30 million. I think this is Steve Cohen at the, you know, right before the spring training started saying, listen, I know that, you know, no one else is offering anything. Screw it. It's a 1-year thing. I'll pay the contract. Let's just get this done and bring this guy in because we need him. They needed him. He needed them. They needed him. That's why this thing made sense from the very beginning. But I don't feel bad for Pete Alonso. I think Pete signed a very good deal here. Now, it's not what the long-term extension was years ago, but once it came down to 3 years, He got the Mets to give him $30 million when no one else was willing to give him anything. So we could scream and complain about Scott Boras. We can scream and complain about, oh, Pete Alonso. I think Pete Alonso did good. Pete Alonso is going to opt out after this year. He's going to hit free agency again at 31. He's not going to have the qualifying offer attached to him because you can't give it to him twice. And he's going to get a multi-year contract. He's going to get a 3 or 4 year deal. And he'll end up making, you know, I mean, if you look at the rest of the market, like other than the first basemen that went off first, they didn't get anywhere near $30 million. I think this is a great deal all around. I think this ends up being ultimately the best thing that could have happened. And we talk about, I know I listened to Sal, and he was on with Keith. I absolutely think Pete is going to be able to hold his head high. Because there was some fear that he ultimately he would take this contract because of the market, because of he wanted to be a Met, and they were going to hold really firm. The Mets were going to hold firm to what they deemed their value to be, which is $23, max $24 million a year for the services of Pete Alonso. That's it. And he would have to take a short-term deal with opt-outs and only make $22, $23 million a year, get nowhere near what he wanted, and have to come in with his tail between his legs and feel like he lost on this thing and ultimately went to a place that it was more of a matter-of-fact circumstance of need than it was that the Mets wanted him. And I think this is absolutely an indication where Pete can say, hey, look, how they clearly, listen, I know I didn't get the long-term deal. The Mets gave me the highest, I'm making more money than any first baseman has ever made in the history of baseball. I'm the highest paid first baseman in the sport. Now he's got to have another decent year. He just can't regress even further. And he'll opt out. And honestly, I still will hold firm to this. I think it's what the Mets want. If you ask me, would Steve Cohen and particularly David Stearns want Pete to opt in for that second year? I bet you they don't. Certainly not David Stearns. There'll be more options next year. You've got the star first baseman from Japan. You've obviously got Vladimir Guerrero Jr. There's a multitude of different ways to go moving forward. But this year's team needed Pete Alonso. And they get their guy after all the nonsense, after all the back and forth, after all the made-up offers from Scott Boras, after all the talk of, you know, we're going to hold firm to our value, the Mets finally gave. And I think that's the reason why the contract was signed today. I think it was the Mets. I don't think this was Pete finally saying, all right, I'll take whatever you're willing to give me. I think this was the Mets and Pete coming to an agreement on a mutually agreeable contract, only making it 2 years. But Pete wanted the most money, and he got the highest average value. And the Mets didn't have to give it to him. Make no mistake, for all the Met fans who've been screaming, don't bid against yourself. No reason to bid against yourself. There's no other contract out there. Hey, Pete, get a contract offer and bring it back to us. There is no contract offer. There was no, the Mets did not. The Mets could have probably still got Pete Alonso without having to give him $30 million. And I'm not knocking him. I think they did the right thing. Give him the $30 million. Bring him in. Have the owner step in and get this thing done. It needed to be settled before spring training. It needed to be settled before you go and all the pitchers and everybody and Nimmo, who's already down there, and Clay Holmes and whoever else is being asked about Pete Alonso every single day. Have you talked to Pete? What's Pete thinking? Do you think the organization and Pete are going to get together? Like, it just becomes a hassle. It becomes a headache that this team doesn't need. Because this team needs to go out and win. Make no mistake. I don't care if there's a long-term process. I don't care that Juan Soto is going to be here for 15 years. I don't care that David Stearns is this young executive who hopefully is running the Mets for the next 30 years. I don't care that the owner is, absolutely determined on bringing a championship and many championships. This year's team has a must-win edict. Sorry, they do. You want to be the big brother in town? You want to talk about how the Mets have shifted the power structure in this city? That comes with a win-or-bust mentality. And today, they are far closer to winning than they were yesterday. And I do think that the owner stepped in and got the deal done. Because the Mets didn't have to give him $30 million. They didn't. They did to get it done. And they were right in doing so. And now everybody's going to benefit from it. 888 808-1019. We'll get into some of the different ramifications on what it means for the team, how I would see the lineup construction, whether or not Pete is going to be able to play again under the pressure of looking for a new contract. All the ramifications from the Pete Alonso news that finally ends today. We don't have to talk about this anymore. We don't have to wonder anymore. Pete Alonso's a Met for one more year. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. We'll come back, take your phone calls. Got you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Pardon me on the voice. I'm doing the best I can. You're lucky I'm here. That's what I do for you. I was honestly considering calling out. It's funny. I was telling Fliegelman this. 100% true. You can ask my wife. I mean, I'm not going to give you her number or anything or contact information, but I was sitting at home today around 2:30, 3 o'clock, and I felt awful, and I continue to feel awful. And I said, you know what? Maybe I'll call out today. I'm really sick. I feel bad. My throat's killing me. And I said, you know what? I better not, because I bet you if I call out, Pete Alonso will sign, and everybody thinks I'm ducking the show. I don't duck nothing. Congratulations to the Mets. That's been my whole point this entire time. I wanted this deal done. I wanted it done. I wanted Pete Alonso to be a Met. And did the Mets play it perfectly? Sure. They didn't have to give him a long-term deal. But, I mean, I think with opt-outs, I think they gave him more money than I expected him to. I thought $30 million was off the table. I think they actually came in and gave more than I expected. And good for Steve Cohen for doing so.
Opened up the show with the Pete Alonso news. You could always go back and click chapters on the free Odyssey app or use the rewind feature to hear us break it down how Boomer was right about this. A couple days off, but he was right. And how everybody liked the afternoon guys putting the L on his neck on a cardboard cutout. And the people at the New York Post saying Epic Dud can suck it this morning because Pete Alonso is a New York Met. Yeah. And it only took a couple of days. And by the way, you put the prayer hands up in that particular post. It wasn't a guarantee or anything. You said feeling like, and it took a couple more days. And on Monday I said, hey, listen, if it happens by the end of the week, you could still celebrate. We've been celebrating today on this Feel Good Thursday.
I'm celebrating because I'm a Met fan. And yeah. I wanted him on the team, and I want to say thank you to Alex and Steve Cohen for doing it. I think that there was probably, I wonder if Alex got involved in any way, shape, or form, because, you know, and let calmer heads prevail, if you will. And I don't know. She knows the fans. They know the fans. We as a fan base wanted him back. At least I wanted to see him at least one year with Juan Soto in the lineup. I had to see this.
Well, I think he had to see it too, because he knows that his numbers are going to be much better.
And I know that the fan base overall is going to be jacked for this. And it also gives everybody here involved a little bit of freedom after the year is over to decide what to do. So it doesn't preclude the Mets from going after Vlad Guerrero if they want to. It doesn't preclude Pete Alonso getting an extension if he has a great year with this lineup. Like, you know, if he really has a clutch year and goes out on to maybe hit 45 to 50 home runs, who knows? Who knows what the future will hold for him? But, you know, he gets his signing bonus. He gets $30 million this year. He gets paid for what I think he's getting paid for what he's given the Mets. He's not getting paid for what they believe he's going to give them.
Yeah. So and he is the highest paid for 2025. He is the highest paid first baseman in the game,
which Boris can take, a victory lap on and say, yeah, I got the highest paid first baseman, whatever. But at the end of the day, for me as a Met fan, like I said earlier this morning, I'm really happy. I'm really happy. Like, this is when Chris Kreider signed his contract with the Rangers. Like, they were dangling him as a trade bit and all this other crap. And then he took a contract that was, you know, it was good for the Rangers and it was good for Chris Kreider. And Chris Kreider should go down as one great Ranger. And this is how I felt about this guy. Like, okay, let's give him another shot with a lineup that, you know, is going to be protecting him and he's going to be protecting them. And let's see what he can do.
Yeah, and he may not finish his career as a Met. I think that it's actually more likely than not that he doesn't at this point, the way that this negotiation went. But you got him for another year. You got him with Juan Soto. You're coming off an amazing year where he had one of the biggest hits
that the franchise has seen in a while. It's such a special moment in Milwaukee, and we'll see how it goes. Now, if he ends up having a great year and he looks young and he's in shape and he has a much better year, and you think, okay, you know what? I'd rather have Pete than Vlad Guerrero Jr., which I don't think they'll say, but you never know. At least gives him an opportunity, and I think that he, you know, he wanted to be here. That's another
thing.
It's
kind of like Aaron Glenn wanted to be the Jet coach. He wanted to be the Jet coach. You know, he said that in his press conference. So if you're a Jet fan and you say, Aaron Glenn is my coach because he wanted to be here. He wasn't using any other team as leverage. This is where he wanted to be. You know, so as a Jet fan, you got to love that. You got to love the fact that, you know, you have one of your own coaching your team. And I go back to Chris Kreider again. I wanted him. He's one of our own. We drafted him. I saw him all of his games at Boston College. He was great then. He's turned out to be a great Ranger. I know at times he can be frustrating, but he has turned out to be ultimately a great Ranger, and his number's going to go into the rafters. I can tell you that. So with Saquon Barkley leaving the Giants, and I think there was a segment of the Giant fan base that was sad to see him go, especially where he went.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want the Met fan base to have to deal with that same crap because Pete is an extremely popular player, especially with the younger Met fans, the whole polar bear deal, and I hope he recognizes that those fans, you know, have all been pulling for him, and I'm sure on opening day he's going to get a great, great ovation.
Yeah, and it's not totally apples to apples with Saquon and the Giants and the Mets and Pete Alonso, but you don't have to worry about him going somewhere else and having this mammoth year, and maybe the Mets are underachieving a little bit, and everybody's going crazy and say, "Oh, what'd you do? You let him go? He's hitting 50 home runs." You don't have to worry about that. I mean, he's on your team. He's going back. He's your starting first baseman. He's in the lineup, and let's go.
You know, and I'll also say this: that even if he has a bad year and he doesn't live up to the $30 million that they're paying him, at least we right now as Met fans have a chance to see what it can look like. I'd much rather have a chance and see what it could look like and fail than not have a chance at all.
Yeah.
And that's the way I looked at it. And I know like Sal made a good point yesterday that he was saying, you know, now they're past the point of no return, that. And I'm kind of paraphrasing here, that is Pete going to be happy? And if he's not going to be happy, why would you bring him back? Well, you know, I think Pete is happy because of the fact that he's got $30 million coming his way, and because he's going to stay at first base for the New York Mets, an organization that he loves. And the fans love him. So I think this is a happy medium for all of us, and I think it's great.
Yeah, and his personality certainly is not one where he's going to walk in and be petty or annoyed or isolate himself. It's just not who he is. I mean,
he's motivated.
He should be motivated, but he's a lovable goofball who wants to play baseball and loves playing in New York. So there are certain personalities that, without a doubt, if the same thing happened, they would walk in and be like, you know what, this sucks. They paid this guy, I never did anything for the Mets. Yeah, almost $1 billion, and they're toying with me, and this is nonsense, and I'll show them. And you know, but he wants to win, and he wants to do well, and of course he wants to get another contract, and a big contract. And for him, if he opts out at the end of the year and gets 4 or 5 years at a nice number, he would love that. And maybe it's not with the Mets, but I just there's not going to be clubhouse issues with him. There's just no way.
I just needed to see it this year. I wanted to be able to say that, you know, we watched Aaron Judge and Juan Soto do amazing things offensively for the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
I want to see that same type of thing, and they got Francisco Lindor right in the middle of it, right in the middle of his prime. I mean, I wanted to see that, and I think we should say thank you to the owners of the New York Mets for doing it. I know that they have bigger plans than just the Mets themselves. It's the whole design over there, you know, with all the gambling, and you got the new soccer stadium going up over there now, and they're trying to redevelop that whole waterway area. So, I'm all for it. I think it's a win for everybody, and I think everybody has a good feeling this morning if you wake up and you're a Met fan.
Yeah, I mean, and it happens before spring training, so it's not over their heads. It's not a talking point when they go down there. Not everybody's going to be asked about it. I mean, that's another thing.
Everybody should be positive about it. All of his teammates should be happy for him. He should be happy. He should be highly motivated. And the Mets themselves, can't look at this ownership group and say, you know, you didn't do anything. You didn't support us. Now it's on the players. Remember last year around the trading deadline, we were talking about, or actually it was in May when they got off to a bad start. Oh, they got to trade this guy. They got to trade that guy. And we were going down those discussions. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, Steve Cohen basically said, I still believe in this group. And then the players started talking about how we need additions. We don't need subtractions. And to the credit of the owner and to the credit of the players, they took those and they went all the way to the NL Championship Series. I mean, that tells you a lot about what that locker room's all about. And I think that locker room is whole now. So I think it's great.
Are you a little surprised that Jeff McNeil's still here?
No.
Why not?
I think that they, you know, I know he's a grinder. He's like a Jesse Winker type. You know, they got the edge, the Stanek type. I like those guys on my team.
It's just that, you know, there's definitely there, you know, there was a big issue with Lindor. Even last year, Lindor mentioned how, you know, when Jeff McNeil was in a slump and then got out of it, he was like, oh, you know, we really love happy Jeff around here. You know, basically saying that the opposite of that is a tough one.
Could they trade him and bring Iglesias back? I guess they could do that.
Well, I think Iglesias should be on the team. But I mean, you know, he was so good for them. I mean, I just don't know if that you could expect that same thing from him.
But you know what? He made it to the top of the charts with OMG and Candelita by being on the New York Mets. Like, if he that would not have happened had he been on, I don't think, any other team.
Well, it could have been the Yankees or the Dodgers.
But the Yankees or the Dodgers weren't going to lead into that. The Mets lean into stuff like this.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the Yankees would have leaned into it, too.
No way.
Remember they had that stupid rally turtle? They do silly stuff, too.
No, they don't.
And yes, they did. Well, Nestor Cortez had a rally turtle in the dugout.
Well, that's why he's no longer with the team. But I would just say that's one of the reasons why. But
because of the rally turtle?
I think the Mets just do so many wacky things, and it's just the Mets. It's like it's in the Met DNA. And I bet you Alex Cohen wants Iglesias back.
Yeah, would hope so. I mean, I also think it was a really good song. Like, I mean, it was good. It's so good that Pitbull wanted to do a remix of it.
Legitimately thought Friday night it was going to happen, but unfortunately, something must have went on, and there must have been some movement within a little bit of a Mets maybe signing bonus. Pete getting an opt-out, going 2 years as opposed to 3 years. You know, there was some negotiation that was going on.
Yeah, and certainly that happens, and it has been happening, and they hammered something out. And if you're just waking up this morning, Pete Alonso and the Mets agree on a deal. It's a one-year, well, it's a two-year deal with an opt-out after the first year. So he gets $30 million in the first year. Then if he opts in, it's $24 million. So obviously Scott Boras is saying to Pete Alonso, and Pete Alonso's thinking, let me get in this lineup. Let me get next to Juan Soto, and let's see what I can do and hit free agency again. And from the Mets standpoint, it's okay. Pete Alonso had his worst year. He's 30 years old, and he's someone that we can't commit dollars to, and we like Vlad Guerrero Jr. In free agency next year, so I don't want to make a huge commitment to him and guaranteed money. So both sides kind of got what they want.
Yeah. For me, it was all about Pete getting into this lineup at least for 1 year. I wanted to see it, and now we're going to see it, and I think it's great that we're going to see it, and hopefully for him anyway, because I am rooting for him, not only to have a great year because I want our team to have a great year, but I want him to prove once again that he could still be a top-end slugger, and maybe he'll get a three-year deal. He'll opt out, and maybe he'll get a three-year deal from somewhere else or by the Mets next year.
You know, you're big on clubhouse and locker room dynamics.
Yeah.
That's something that you talk about all the time. And yes, last year, the mix with the Mets was amazing. And after they got off to the slow start and Iglesias got here and everything else, do you think that Pete Alonso and the way that this thing went and the fact that Juan Soto got what he got, now Pete Alonso kind of has to come in with his tail between his legs a little bit, that could be a clubhouse dynamic issue?
No. I think if I were Pete, I would take my signing bonus, put it right in the bank. I'd be in the batting cage right now, and I'd be ready to hit the ground running and proving to everybody that I potentially could be an MVP of the National League.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that there are some players that it would be an issue with, but I, knowing Pete's personality and who he is, I don't think it's going to be a problem.
And by the way, you know, on opening day when they interview and when they introduce, you know, Juan Soto will get a huge crowd reaction, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Lindor will get a huge crowd reaction, I'm sure. Don't be surprised if Pete Alonso gets the biggest reaction.
Yeah, I mean, you saw what happened at that amazing fest when, you know, they were talking about Pete and they were chanting, "We want Pete." It's crazy. I mean, it was unbelievable. And then Steve Cohen goes, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." And then he went into his whole thing. So I kind of agree with you that that was the that may happen, that he might get the biggest ovation. By the way, it's almost like we've forgotten about Francisco Lindor. We don't talk about it. The guy almost won the MVP last year.
That's right. So now you have three potential candidates for that.
Let's go to Mike, who's in Clifton Park. Good morning, Mike. What's up?
Hey, guys. So first, I'm a huge Mets fan. It's like that Alonso is back. But Boomer, I have to tell you something. The moment that you made the prediction that Alonso was going to come back at a certain day, it was never, ever going to happen. You want to know why?
Why is that?
Because the Rascals of Boris and Heyman, they have to be the first. Heyman has to be the first. Do you understand? So they changed the date on you. It was going to happen. And they're like, oh, no. Boomer announced it. So they stalled it. Okay? You got to understand that. Understand the dynamics of what's going on here. So that was never going to happen. I'm sorry that happened to you, Boomer.
Well, you know what, Mike? I appreciate you bringing it up and really put it in that context. I don't feel that I need a sorry, you know, because I said even yesterday that I'm 100% sure that he is going to be a Met.
Can't even believe it.
Yeah. So, and you know, by the way, John Heyman didn't come out and refute anything that I said.
He did not. No.
He did not.
No. I mean, he was...
And I don't refute anything they say. I just say the way that they say it. The ifs, maybe, seems likes.
Yes, which is infuriating, but and I generally don't defend them. But if you think about how the baseball offseason goes and how long it drags on and the pressure that they have to have news, and then there's like nothing there, and there's weeks that go by where nothing is going on, and then their bosses or their followers or whoever are like, well, what the hell? You're a baseball insider. It's the offseason, and you're not saying anything. So then they start with that stuff. Could be, maybe, feels like, possibly, and then... when none of that happens, you get angry or it's wrong or whatever. But I mean, it's almost like they don't have a choice.
You know, this opens a door for, you know, Pete Alonso to have the home run record for the Mets, you know, assuming that, you know, he has a good year and he remains with the Mets. I mean, there's a lot of great things here that can happen for Pete Alonso. It's just unfortunate that, you know, he bet on himself and he didn't get the contract that he thought he deserved. That's all.
Yeah, and he played a full complement of 162 games. He just had his worst offensive season and he was terrible in the clutch until, of course, he delivered the biggest home run of the season.
In Milwaukee, yes.
Which was absolutely, I mean, it's incredible.
That was an incredible moment for all of us.
I mean, we came in the next day, we're like, oh, you know, now he's got to re-sign. He's got to bring him back. The entire season, we're like, you got to let him go. He hits that home run. It's like, well, he's got to be back.
You know, it'll be interesting, like, I wonder, like, internally, I think Steve and Alex Cohen probably really wanted him back. And I think internally, David Stern's probably saying, you know, look, let's just not get crazy here. That's probably what is happening, you know. And the fact that, you know, Boris was doing this whole thing, song and dance with Juan Soto and everything else, I think there was I would think that there was a false sense of bravado on the part of Scott Boras because he had Juan Soto and Pete Alonso.
Yeah, I mean, and that is a big factor. There's no two ways about it because David Stearns and Steve Cohen were negotiating with Scott Boras when it came to Juan Soto, and Steve Cohen was not going to be denied, and there was a lot of things that Scott Boras asked for Juan Soto that Steve Cohen delivered on. And then when you go into a negotiation with the same agent with a different player and you feel like you're getting squeezed again, it's going to piss off a guy like Steve Cohen who's been doing deals his whole life.
Do you think that Scott Boras says to Pete Alonso, look, if I can get you the deal that you want, I'll take my cut. But if I can't get you to the deal that I told you that I thought I could get for you, I won't take nearly as much money from you.
No, I think you hire Scott Boras and that you sign the paperwork and that's that. I mean, I don't believe that Scott Boras is doing anything that would favor the client in that way. I mean, he does a good job of getting money, but I mean, he also, you know, he fired his agent after Pete Alonso did and hired Scott Boras after they turned down that big contract that he was offered, you know, prior to David Stern's
agent. I wonder how he's feeling right now.
He's probably vindicated.
Yeah, I would think so.
He's like, I mean, I got you this deal that you would kill for right now. You turned it down, then you fired me. And now you're sitting here playing year to year. I mean, if I were that guy, whoever that is, who is that guy? I bet you can get him talking, whoever that guy is. He's probably texting all his friends, see this crap? Unbelievable.
Oh, you can imagine the text thread he's probably on right now.
I told him. Should have listened to me.
Oh, he's probably ticked.
You know, and I was only taking, 2% and Boras takes 5. Just a bad move. Let's see. Who was that?
Who was that agent?
Brody
Van Wagenen.
No. See, the problem is you put in Pete Alonso fires agent and everything comes up. Pete Alonso should fire Scott Boras. Hires Boras. I don't know who that is, but I'd like to find that guy. And
Is it Don Yee?
Don Yee? I don't think it's Don Yee, no. Is it Sandy Montag?
No, he's not into broadcasting yet.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I can't find it. Because everything is just Scott Boras everywhere. And that was like
Is it Lefseltzer?
Years ago.
I don't think he did
fire Lefseltzer, no. Yeah. I don't think Lefseltzer's got Pete Alonso. But I'll try to find it in the break because I'm interested. I want to know that guy is definitely he's throwing his own parade today.
That's exactly why I asked you that.
And people like that, that's petty. Well, I mean, that's just the way people are. It's human nature. You're in a cutthroat business like that. I mean, you get fired. It's embarrassing. It's out there in the news, and you're like, oh man, one of these big players just sacked me.
What do you think's worse, the agent business, the business that you and I are in, the media business? Or the political business.
Like, in what way worse?
Like, the worst, like the backstabbing, shiv-shanking scumbags that are located in every single one of these industries.
Yeah, I would say that it's very close, but probably politics by a photo finish.
Yeah, because they scream at each other, and then they shake each other's hands.
Yeah, and there's just lots of undercover shiv going on. And also, it's like those things are big real-life issues when you're talking about sports and broadcasting, not as much. I mean, it affects our lives and our careers, but, when you talk about politics, it affects the entire country. So I would say, yeah, that's probably the worst. Shiv spots. A lot of shiv spots
out
there.
It's kind of like they need each other, right? It's kind of like worldwide wrestling. You got to have a villain. You got to have somebody that you hate, that the fans hate, and then you got to have somebody who's the hero.
Got to have a heel, and you got to have a baby face.
Exactly.
That's what they say, these wrestling people.
Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the
BT itself back on the fan. Hoff is all over it today. Hoff is just in love with this move. Besides, now that I think about it, Hoff, if you were on your deathbed like apparently you were the last 2 days, but Alonso signed, you'd probably figure out a way to get in here, huh? Today you battled through the snow to get here.
Yeah, by the way, I woke up and my wife is like, school's canceled, everything's canceled. I look out the window and there was nothing.
It's an inch.
Yeah, there was nothing.
It's an inch.
I was like, babe, don't worry, I'll handle this one.
The side roads weren't. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If there were more, I feel like the side roads would have been plowed better because for me it was not good on the side roads. But it
really?
Yeah, a lot of like slush and ice still. But either way, it was not a big deal getting in. As a matter of fact, it was a glorious commute. Nobody's on the road.
It was a big deal for him. He was late.
Yeah, well, that is true. Right, sick the last couple of days and then
late today.
But he's got all this Alonso love music. Yeah, I mean, you could hard to find somebody that loved Pete Alonso more than Pete Hoffman. So good to have you back, Hoff, on this great day. Before we get into the lineup, BT, I was just getting text here, clarification on the luxury tax impact. That's what it was. So according to Joe DiMeo, who's just DMing me here, he knows more about this stuff clearly than I do. Because of the bonus, if you give him the $10 million bonus, it doesn't impact the luxury tax. It's a cash flow impact. Historically, it's been a way for players to avoid some taxes on a chunk of their income, depending on where they live. Also, the luxury tax figure is $27 million, which is the AAV of the contract.
There you go. That's pretty much what I thought when it came up.
All right, so what do you got? Hit me with your lineup here.
Okay, so to me, now, if you were to give any manager, and I mean the best ones of all time, going back from Miller Huggins up to and beyond Billy Martin and everybody else in between. That's amazing. And he's all right, here's your Mets roster. All right, assuming there's no other additions, which there won't be, maybe another arm, but in terms of sticks, this is the way I think every manager should and would write out the first five spots.
Look at you.
Yeah, okay, of the Mets lineup. Unfortunately, a million geeks have permeated the business, and they have really distorted everybody's line of thinking. So here's what the Mets should do, even though they won't.
Okay.
Lindor should bat first, obviously. Speed, clutch, stud, hitter, switch hitter, boom. So number two to me is Vientos. I'm putting Vientos up there number two. Number three, any manager goes back forever. The best hitter on any team from 6 years of age all the way through, whatever, bats in the three spot. And that's obviously Juan Soto, who's an on-base machine and an absolute statistical force and horse. So Lindor, Vientos, Soto. By putting Soto three, this is pretty basic, but I still don't think they'll do it. By putting Soto three, Vientos has, outside of Judge and maybe one or two others, the absolute best protection that you can have in the game. Number four, I got Pete, which means Pete Alonso is going to get up most nights with either one or two guys on base and get fed fastballs, which he will crush. Okay, and then number five is Brandon Nimmo, and I'll stop at six because then it gets a little whatever. I'm going to put Nimmo five. Now, I do think the Mets will certainly entertain, if not flat out do, Nimmo in the two spot, or Soto, I should say, in the two spot. But Nimmo, to me, if his profile wasn't going the other direction, maybe I'd be a little more amenable to having Vientos five. But that's four straight years where Brandon Nimmo's, who I like, but I don't think he's great, but I like him. He's had four straight years where his on-base percentage has actually decreased. Five if you count the 55 games that he's actually led during COVID, but I won't. So that's four. And then hopefully, optimally speaking, Alvarez is the real deal. He's six. So what I would do, what I think everybody else should do and would do, but they won't, Lindor, Vientos, Soto, Pete, Nimmo, Alvarez.
Yeah, I would not do that.
That's the best lineup they could do.
I don't agree with that necessarily. I don't hate it. I don't agree with that. You know, really, if you want to go back to old school and saying what it used to be, then you would have Nimmo leading off. Why wouldn't you move Lindor down? If you have Nimmo, who's supposed to be an on-base guy, like, that's his strength.
Well, he doesn't run. That would be one old-school volley back. If you say, well, if you go to old-school, I got an answer for you. The other answer would be that his on-base percentage has dropped 4 years in a row.
Did he steal 20 bases last year, Nimmo?
Nimmo finally actually decided to take a jog once in a while.
And 25, what do you have, 25 homers, 24 homers, something like that?
22.
So, okay, over 20 homers, over 20 steals. Here's what I would do, and I think they're more inclined to do it. And I'm normally with you in my thought process with the lineup, like more, I skew more old school. Although I've evolved now, like Judge hitting second at that time, I was like, what are we doing here? He has the greatest power hitter I've ever seen in my life. You're having him at second, but I love the way that looks when you have, you know, a Judge and whatever, however they're going to line it up this year. But you know what I'm saying? Have your best guys 1, 2, 3 like that, regardless of, set the table 1, 2. Why appetize? Why play around with four? Just get right to it. You know what I'm saying? Spoken like a true Minuteman. All right, Lindor. I would go Lindor, Soto.
They jot this down. Lindor, Soto.
Vientos. Nimmo, Alonso.
I don't like that.
And then
all.
Winker. And I got the I'm
Lindor, Soto. Who's third? Vientos?
Yeah.
Pete or Nimmo?
Nimmo, because I like lefty-righty.
I think you're overthinking. You want Nimmo up before... Well, you want Nimmo up before Pete?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so...
I don't think they're that different. Like, they're different hitters. I don't think... As a matter of fact, in the clutch, to give me a better big at-bat, I trust Brandon Nimmo more so than I do Alonso.
I actually can see why you say that. Like, I don't think it's nuts. I don't like this lineup at all. I don't like... See, the reason why I really don't like... Number one, I can't put Nimmo four. There's no way I could justify that
myself.
Well,
you're just looking at it as a like traditional cleanup hitter,
well,
right?
I mean, I do put an emphasis on power, and Pete's got a lot more. Right. And I think, you know, whatever. I would put Pete four, you put Nimmo four, whatever. The other thing that I would never do until I know he's beyond... maybe some stumbling moments as a young hitter. I'm not putting Vientos three. I'm gonna protect him. And if I can put Lindor in front of him and Soto behind him, perfect.
So then don't you think the lineup structure is going to depend on how you view or how they view Vientos? Remember how it started last year. He wasn't their two hitter. He wasn't a top guy. Bottom of the order, five hitter, whatever. And then they moved him up. And I loved it because he was their second best hitter. It was Lindor.
Definitely.
And Vientos.
He was great.
So if I had to ask you right now, forget how you would structure the lineup.
Gotcha.
Who do you think are the three best Mets hitters overall?
Oh, you know who they are. Okay, but that's why I got him 1, 2, and 3 in the order.
Right, okay.
So it's still the same answer.
Fair enough,
I got Lindor,
too.
I got Vientos, and I got Soto.
Okay, so you're right. You have it differently. And then if I would ask you who their next best hitter is... Again,
I'm going to say Pete.
See, and
you're not.
And I would go Nimmo.
I'm counting. You know, I got you. I'm banking on, and listen, it could wind up being Alvarez, but I'm banking on more of a statistical return to Pete Alonso's mean. You're not going to win the MVP. He's not going to hit 270. He's not going to hit 50 bombs. He ain't hitting 34 home runs with 87 RBIs. You could book it. If he's healthy, there's no chance in hell that's happening.
But think about this lineup. Lindor, Soto, Vientos. And again,
go ahead.
Okay. So in that scenario, Lindor going to set the table, of course, get on, obviously hits with some power. Soto's going to get on base. Obviously could do a little bit of everything.
Yep.
There's going to be a lot of times where Vientos, who I believe in a big spot, we've seen it. I mean, year one, this guy's got ice in his veins.
Yes.
So I trust him. If he doesn't get it done, I trust Nimmo more to give a quality at bat. Doesn't need to hit a home run. Hit a double on the gap drive in a couple runs. Or get on base, and then you have Alonso. Like, I just like the structure of that. Or if the guys in front of Vientos, let's say Lindor, Soto don't get on, Nimmo can kind of be that reset and get on in front of Alonso.
Okay, I don't agree, but I hear you. I think the biggest thing is I'm just more concerned, and maybe I shouldn't be, I'm a little more concerned with protecting's not the right word.
Right, with Vientos.
Just easing him into, he's going to be pitched differently. Now, how differently? Not that much with Soto behind you, which is my point.
And by the way, if you do, or if they do go Lindor, Vientos, Soto, then I would go Alonso 4, Nimmo 5.
Dude, that's a hell of a top three right there. If Lindor provided Lindor's second half, and he's going to be very good, but like if he's that, because he really hasn't been that in New York, if he's that, and Soto, which he will be, and Vientos is the real deal. I mean, that 1-2-3 is phenomenal. Pete just cleans up. Just don't be a scrub, Pete. You're going to have 130 RBIs.
Hoff, what would you do here? You have a lineup?
Yeah, really quickly.
Top three?
Well, Francisco Lindor, Juan Soto, Mark Vientos. I'd go Pete 4, Winker, Marte 5.
Oh, God.
Alvarez 6, McNeil 7, Siri Taylor 8, Brandon Nimmo. If you guys kiss his butt as much, if you think he can get on base.
You guys? I don't love him that much.
I'm just talking about the entire nation of Mets Nation that kisses this guy's rear end. If he's that good, bat him 9, he resets the lineup.
You can't hit him 9th. He's a better offensive player.
No, he's not.
Huff, I don't know why you don't like Nimmo, but you love Pete Alonso.
Have you seen his numbers?
He was on an all-star track last year in the first half.
And then he fell off for a full 3 months.
I still trust him more than Alonso. Hey, look, at some point, and I will say that said this to Nimmo to his face. We had him on at the FanFest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is the year. Like, there's more in there to unlock.
I believe you. What did he say? What did he say? I got you.
No, he took it.
He's a man. He's accountable. I like Nimmo.
I said, this has got to be the year. There's more in there. Unlock it. This has got to be the year you reach your full potential. Like, I'm expecting
this. I hope so. He's 32 years old. Yeah, wait till he's 37. I mean, Nimmo, let's go hit that potential.
This is the year I expect you to be an all-star. That's it.
I don't expect. Now, I'm not saying he won't be. I don't look at Nimmo with the expectation to be an all-star.
If he's not, I mean, he's been here long enough. I think this is his 10th season. If he's not an all-star at this point, then we do have to reevaluate what Brandon Nimmo is.
I'm going
to
grant you one thing, all right, with the lineup here. Now, and this is an important thing that I'm not budging off mine. I love my lineup here. But let's say there's two out and there's two on, you know, late, high leverage, bullpen, octane coming out, you know, just a stud close or whatever. And you guys are down a run. You need a hit, quality at bat. I do trust Nimmo. I do. I'm going to give you this. I trust Nimmo to navigate that at bat with more purpose and a cleaner at bat than Pete.
Right.
I give you that. That's a true statement.
Yeah. Even with Pete's prowess in the postseason and obviously with the damage of the home run. If you need a home run, you trust Pete. If you need a quality at bat, that's what Nimmo does well. Now, he's got to back it up. Actually, both these guys.
So what about Nimmo, too, if that's the case? Why wouldn't you go Lindor, Nimmo, Soto? Oh, you want Soto, too?
I want lefty-righty balance. And I can't have Soto hitting any less than.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We have some Jets news to get to as well. We'll keep it going, though. A different side of things. I want to get into the Cohen-Stearns aspect of things as far as the Alonso signing goes when we come back as well.